But don't play with me, 'cause you're playing with fire.
Good morning and welcome to Playing with Fire, Long Island's only food, wine, and lifestyle show. I'm your host, Tom Shortell, and I'm here with co-host, producer, and dear friend, Stu Schrager. Good morning, Stu.
Good morning, Tom. I almost didn't recognize you.
You didn't?
Well, it's actually been 2 weeks that we've been...
I know.
Since we have sat face-to-face.
Yeah, I couldn't get here last week because of a work schedule, but glad to be back. Glad to be back in the pilot seat here.
Me too. I have to air some dirty laundry here, we recorded a show 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
but it wasn't able to be aired because we have what they call Summer Fridays here at the radio station, and my production staff is very... Fridays are a fanatic day anyway. They usually record, they usually edit our show on Fridays, and they couldn't get it done. So last week we had a show in the can, as they say, so
yeah,
that's what aired. But I'm glad to be live, as they say, with you again.
Me too. Great weather today. I mean, I know we record on Thursday for Sunday, but a beautiful day out there. And I don't know, I'm sort of like summer's half over to me already. You know, we're almost in August. It's like, God, it goes so quick. It takes like 3 minutes for summer and about 6 months for winter, you know?
Oh, it's crazy. I'm a big guy all about music and the Jones Beach Amphitheater.
Yeah.
And somebody actually just posted something on Facebook. They went to see Bon Jovi over at the Garden. They're doing a 9-show residency over 3 weeks or something. But they said, do we take for granted Madison Square Garden? And he showed some of the photos that they have in the hallway there.
Yeah.
And again, you know, every major city has a concert venue, but most tours don't miss New York. So we get to see everything, and there's usually multiple choices.
Yeah.
Because in the tri-state, we actually have four choices. The former Nassau Coliseum, still around, very rarely used. You have the Garden, you have UBS Arena, and then, you know, in the outskirts, you have the Prudential Center.
Yeah.
So there's options to see things. But down at Jones Beach, that's the ultimate to me. This year they have 50 shows, which started around Memorial Day weekend. So that means like over the course of 120 or 150 days, there's 50 shows. That's like every third day there's a show.
If you have any influence, you can do 51. My band is available.
That was a good time in the day over at the band show.
It was.
And would love to see you there again. What do you call it? There's been a lot of shows, and the weather has been kind of crazy. You started talking about weather. And for whatever it's worth, the producers here tell us that we should never talk about weather because, you know, we're sitting here on a Thursday saying how beautiful it is. And when this airs on Sunday, it could be snow.
Well, they need a sense of humor. Everybody understands that. You know, it's funny, talking about weather. I know we shouldn't talk about weather, but tornado watches on Long Island. It's crazy, right?
Well, that's where I'm leading to. We were sending our friend Mike Dorio to see Dave Matthews the other night, and there was some issues, tornado warnings or rain or whatever it was, and they actually canceled.
Oh, wow.
They didn't cancel. They postponed the show.
It, yeah.
However, that be said, the Saturday night before, it was a train and bare naked ladies over at Jones Beach, and it was really, really bad weather. We had a lot of guests from the radio station that lived out east, and it just didn't make sense for them to
come and
schlep, as they say.
Schlep, yeah, I love that word.
West to go to the show with the inclement weather, and no matter how bad it was, they refused to cancel that show.
You know, yeah, it's funny with weather. I mean, you know, you never heard, as a kid, I never heard of a tornado warning. Maybe they just didn't warn us, you know. But I had one come right down my block in East Hampton.
Wow.
Yeah, right down the block. Didn't harm any houses. Just went right down the middle of the road. You know, I found my lawn furniture in Greenport. But it was the oddest thing to watch.
Well, it's funny because on Facebook, somebody posted from Saturday night a gear case, you know, traveling across the state.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
But anyway, Mike Dorio was in his car ready to go to the show Tuesday night, and only to find out that it was being postponed to this coming week.
Yeah.
But, weather in an outdoor venue can
definitely
sketchy. Be.
Yeah, it's sketchy. I mean, we go through it with, seating outside on patio. You know, I have a deck at Allure. You know, I have a front. It's covered, you know, but still, it's sketchy out there, you know. You never know what's going to happen. And you know, I never want to call something off because of a weather forecast, because half of the time they're not really all that accurate. And a lot of times the weather forecast in Manhattan, you know, the people that are coming out here, it's 90 miles away, you know?
Well, I tell you what, there's times that with the Jones Beach shows, I'll call down to the beach and I'll say it's beautiful in north, just north in Merrick, it's torrential pouring.
Listen, I've seen the East End, you know, where I'm a little bit north of the town in when I was in East Hampton, and it'd be socked in fog. You couldn't see a hand in front of your face at the beach, and you know where I was, it was clear as clear as a bell. Yeah, it's crazy. Weather's crazy. But that's what they call microclimates, is little climates around.
I guess. So I have to share. I went up to Rhode Island this past weekend. Carrie had gone up there earlier in the week, and I just couldn't get there when she did, so she drove. And I was really so confused about whether or not to skip going or not. It was a really nice opportunity. She had all her kids together up in Rhode Island. I did not want to miss it. But yet, there was just so many things going on.
Mm-hmm.
But then I pulled it together at the last minute, and I ended up driving out to Orient Point.
Mm-hmm.
Feverishly, because I wanted to make the ferry. That, you know, if I missed
that, means
it,
you were sweating on the way out there. The feverishly,
yeah, just
thing,
about.
Right?
I did a 2 o'clock ferry. Got there in time.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I was a little. I'm not good with new scenarios. So I get there. I knew I could park there, but I didn't know if there were certain areas you could park and not park, and I'm trying to figure out if my car is going to be there when I get back.
Panic.
At any rate, I park it, I get there, it works out, and I get up to Rhode Island, Kerry picks me up, and I appreciated the ride out to Orient Point. You know, it's just so... The ambiance is just so incredible.
Yeah, it's more New England than New York.
Right. And then I get up to Rhode Island, and again, the same feel.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's just incredible. And again, the weather, I guess it was pretty similar to what was going on down here. Maybe a little bit behind. We had aspirations of going to polo up there, and it didn't work out. But many stories came out of that trip, and the one I want to ask you is, we went to a restaurant up in that area. I guess we were near Cranston, and also near Providence. So we go to a new restaurant that I found out was a former restaurant that somebody took over.
Mm-hmm.
And the I think the owner said something that they continued the... I guess the menu and stuff of what the former restaurant had, and then
right.
He morphed into his own. But I'm always intrigued by people like yourself, restaurateurs and foodies. And I was talking to the owner, and he starts telling me about all these different businesses he has.
Uh-huh.
He has the restaurant. He has a contracting company. He had a detailing company. He had a real estate company.
Well, listen, you need three businesses to support a restaurant.
So I shared that with people, and they said, I guess he's successful in none. That's why he has to have so many different things. And I wanted to get your take on that. It actually irritated me that somebody was talking down about somebody. But some of it made sense. The guy also was into construction, if I didn't say that before. So when he remodeled, he had his own team to
sure,
do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It made sense. But I'm curious what you think when somebody has a portfolio of businesses, of which one is a restaurant.
Yeah. I'm jealous. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, we've... As a kind of a country, we've been conditioned to punish success for some reason, and for the life of me, I can't understand it. You know, they look at Elon Musk like he's this villain. Meanwhile, the guy's like changing the world. He's created millionaires and billionaires. He's employed thousands of people. I mean, show me the bad part of this. I don't get it. You know, and it's the same thing. I think there's a jealousy angle, and we've been, you know, kind of conditioned to eat the rich here, and it's really a cancer that's come into this country, I believe, and we better get it cured quickly, because it's, you know, I don't see a good end to it. But the bottom line is, you know, what's wrong with dabbling in a couple of things? I mean, I don't get, you know, was, you know, people are funny. I had a friend who had a bar. It was like an old man's bar, you know, years ago when we were kids. And it was kind of a fun place because it was this real diverse crowd. It was called the Parkway Inn, and it was in Westbury on Jericho Turnpike. And I spent a good portion of my youth in that place. And it was kind of funny because you had bikers, you had retirees, you had electricians, you had guys that worked for AMF, corporate executives, the whole thing. It was this mix of people that was insanely cool, you know. But there's always the one guy at the bar, you know. Yeah, if the boss would have just listened to me, he's an idiot. I could have told, yeah, he's such an idiot. You know, he's got a house on the water and a Ferrari, and you're sitting here with a beer and a shot, you know what I mean, saying that you conquer the world if I don't only listen to you. But it's the same thing as a jealousy thing, I think, you know?
I don't know. I mean, we actually had a nice meal. It was a large group. We sat at a long row table. Mm-hmm. But it was cool. So, you know, the owner had, fixed up the place. It was totally a different decor what was before. And now as I'm talking, I remember what the scenario was. The former restaurant had like black walls, black everything,
yeah.
And he lightened it up. It was, and I don't know much about construction, but I know, you know, painting over a dark color is like three or four
layers. Yeah, for
but
sure.
He did a nice job. I found some interesting things. One was that he served the steak. A lot of the people had steak, and it was almost like on a carving board, mm-hmm. a wooden carving board. So it was interesting.
Yeah.
They had a couple of different options for the steak. They had also pork chop. I had a frutte di mare. Did I say that right?
Frutte di mare.
Which was very nice. I actually wasn't sure what technically that means. I thought it might have been more of a bouillabaisse, meaning, you know, pasta in a red sauce or whatever.
Yeah, well, bouillabaisse isn't red.
It's a broth.
Yeah.
But I thought this might have been, you know, like...
Chipino is red.
I thought it would be like a fradalo,
yeah.
But not
without
a spice.
Without the fra.
So, but it was different. It was like with a garlic burnt butter technique.
Yeah.
But it was really good. It was shrimp and mussels. The mussels were... And here's an interesting thing also. The mussels were taken out of the shell. I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that. But it was shrimp, scallops. And the scallops were like, not diced, but like stripped, mm-hmm. like strips of scallop. It was. I thought all in all, it was a very nice restaurant. They had something with a smoked old-fashioned, which was served really, really cool. But all in all, it was a very, very nice meal. And then... we did something that was really, really cool. It's called rail bikes, and that's like a go-kart that's built for either two or four,
right.
And it's a pedal car, and you're on the railroad tracks, and you pedal to move,
really,
which is really cool. And I guess it's an abandoned...
I was going to say oncoming train would be a problem.
That would be a problem.
Yeah.
But it was, an abandoned rail line. And but you're still going across different intersections.
Hmm.
So it was a 6 mile ride. You get there, they bus you to the beginning, and then you ride back.
Right.
And then along the way, there's some crossing guards keeping people from crossing
you.
Or telling you to stop or whatever. Fortunately, it wasn't an uphill adventure. If anything, it was level and down.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, not enough that you really needed to to brake, except when you had at a crossing,
right.
Where there might have been a vehicle coming. So that was pretty cool, and we lucked out. Again, I said the weather there was a little bit behind what was happening in New York. So we did this on a Saturday morning, and it was perfect. If it was really warm, you'd probably be very, very uncomfortable. You know, in the heat, but this just worked out well. And then we went to this local, I guess it had to be like...
Can I just go back for 1 second? What was the name of the restaurant? You never told me the name of the restaurant.
I don't remember.
You're killing me.
to be continued.
Yeah, okay.
But, actually, I can tell you as we're going along. But so we went to this local waterside restaurant, and it gave me a thought of Allure. But it was really nice. We got anything from catfish, fish and chips, which I guess probably was a flounder, oysters, which mm-hmm. were delightful. And
yeah.
I'm going to try to say it. Mignonette.
Bingo. That's one in a row.
And it was really good. It was funny, just as an observation of people. We got a dozen. There was three of us.
Uh-huh.
And I'm always very, I guess the word is courteous. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's not important.
You'll have eight. I'll have
yeah.
three.
So yeah. I looked all of a sudden. I had two. They were all, I should have had four because 12, I'm not smart, but I get by in math.
You know,
12
that's
divided
why
by
that,
three is four.
That's why they give you that little fork so you can stab somebody in the hand when they're going for your oysters. You know?
So that was really nice. And then we went to see the Odyssey.
Really?
Which
movie?
Is a yeah. Greek mythology, I believe,
yeah.
That we all read when we were in high school and stuff.
You all, I didn't read it.
3-hour movie. It was a good 2-hour nap for me.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, after dinner, you don't want to go to the movies.
Right. But it was just a fun time. But on the way home, I took the ferry. Kerry dropped me off at... I guess it's called New London, Connecticut.
Yeah, yeah.
I took it back to Orient Point, and I'm driving back Sunday afternoon, and it was beautiful out. It must have been 80-something degrees, and again, the ambiance. And my mom had said during the week, you know, I had bought her some peaches at one of the local groceries,
mm-hmm.
and she said, they sucked.
Yeah, most of them do.
She
they
said,
get that mealy thing going on, you know?
Well, these were just... whatever, no taste.
Hard as a rock.
So she said, you know, is there a farmer's market out by you? And I had that in my mindset. So, but driving through the East End, is that what you're supposed to call it now?
Yeah, North Fork.
Right.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, farm after farm. And then it just clicked. Why am I not stopping to get my mom her peaches?
There's a bunch of stands out there.
So I literally stepped on the brake. Luckily, there was nobody behind me. But I stopped at Breyemere's,
yeah.
Which is ridiculous to go stop for peaches, except now that I'm talking it through, to make their pies, they need to have fruit.
Yeah.
So at any rate, I stopped there, and it was really crowded. They have like a strip of cash registers,
oh, yeah.
and people were fighting to get up to the register. But I got a couple of traditional peaches, I think it was a couple of white peaches. And they were local. And then they had a couple of baskets of North Carolina or South Carolina peaches, which I don't understand why anybody would get. And then there were these gorgeous strawberries. So I stopped there.
It's high season for them now out there.
Oh, know? Yeah. They were delightful. And then I'm driving a little further west, and there's Schmitz. And I guess Schmitz has the Holy Schmitz horseradish and a lot of different things. And I dropped your name there, and they were very aware of you. But I got a couple of different flavors of horseradish, the traditional white horseradish.
They have a big festival out there, horseradish festival.
Really? Really? Well, it wasn't this weekend.
No, it's in the fall.
And then I got some, I guess, beet horseradish, mm-hmm. which makes it red. And then they had a Bloody Mary mix, which I got. And then... again, when I was talking about the strawberries, they had a strawberry shake out at their food area. So I got that, and then when I wasn't looking, they put whipped cream on it. So as bad as enough that I felt that I was overdoing
the calories
it got worse.
Oh, yeah.
But I bit my tongue, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, sometimes you just got, you know what, the measure to me is it worth the calories? That's my whole thing, you know? I mean, I've been about food my whole life, and, you know, I'm out to dinner a lot, and, you know, I do a lot of eating, you know? So it's like one of those things where I get mad when it's just not worth the calories. I don't care about the money, you know, because I've spent ridiculous amounts of money on food and wine. And it's research and development for me. It's my business, whatever. But the bottom line is, you know, it's got to be worth the calories. You know, I went to two restaurants this week. You know Trento? It's kind of down the block here. I had gone to Trento a couple of times. One of the funniest experiences at Trento the first time. You know, I'm kind of as you probably know, I'm a stickler for English.
Yes.
You know, the language and grammar. And part of it has to do with because, you know, I do some writing and whatever. And the other half of it is that, you know, I do a lot of reading. So, you know, if you read, you become a better speller, you become a better, you know, diction or whatever. So I was talking to this woman who worked there years ago. I'm going back probably 7-8 years ago when I first opened, 10, whatever it was. Anyway, so she's talking about, she's kind of a hefty woman, right? And she goes, you know, I was talking about shoes. Ladies, they buy shoes that look good to them and then squeeze their foot in. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what the size is. They'll tough it out. You know what I mean? And she goes, yeah, same thing with me. I was looking for a dress. I couldn't find a dress. I'm going to this wedding. I finally found a dress. It was a little small, so I squoze myself into it. Well, did you ever laugh so hard that you're hopping from one foot to the other making noises through your nose? You know what I mean? It's in a parking lot, you know? I had to excuse myself and go outside. So anyway, the reason I'm saying this is like when Trento opened years and years ago. I hadn't been there in a very long time for no other reason than it's kind of out of my line of fire, you know? So Valerie said, hey, well, you know, we were taking Mike Dorio out and his wife for dinner because it was his birthday. So she goes, let's go to Trento. I said, I don't know if I want to go over there. Or, you know, there's a couple places in Roslyn. I may want to go closer to me. And she goes, oh, no, look at it. Oh, the food looks great. So she's always on, you know, she's that generation where she's always on the phone with the cameras and the pictures or whatever. And she says, look at this. I said, didn't look good. And then she goes, they've got this new chef, Gigi. And I know of him. I don't know him, but I know of him. And he was a big deal over in, like, Franklin Square or Lynbrook area, you know, for a while. He had some restaurants over there. And I remember Peter Giannotti writing very, very good things about him. I got to one of his restaurants one night, and it was in Lynbrook, and he was the chef there. He wasn't there the night I was there, and it was very good. We had good pasta, whatever. So he said, all right, well, let's go. So we went over there, and one of the waitresses who was waiting on us, we had a couple people waiting on us, one of the waitresses had worked for me before, Sarah. So I think she might have mentioned that, you know, I was there or whatever. So all of a sudden we had, you know, a flurry of activity around the table. Would you like to, Mr. Chardell, can we get you another table? You know, because they put us right in the line of the kitchen, and I don't really care where I sit. I'd rather sit there because somebody else is going to be fussy. You can have the better table. It doesn't matter to me. The food tastes the same at wherever the table is, you know. So he said, no, we're good, you know. And then they came out, you know, he allowed us to, there was a corkage fee. I brought a couple of bottles of wine, which was nice of him to let us do that. And, you know, they decanted the wine, the whole thing, and then, you know, we finally ordered, and we had this big platter of it's like a burrata with, you know, prosciutto. It was like for the table. It was huge. So we had one of those, and we ordered a crudo. They had a hamachi and tuna crudo, which was very good. And we split a bunch of pastas. And between each, the first thing they came out with on the house was they gave us each a slice of A5 Wagyu beef, you know, with caviar and stuff. It was very good. And then they came out with a second one. It was a ravioli, a stuffed ravioli, which was very good. And we had two pastas. We had a bolognese with like a wild boar, which was really, really good. And then we had a gnocchetti, like a really small gnocchi with this like a saffron sauce with crab meat. And that was okay. It was I would have ordered something different. It wasn't really what I was looking for, but Mike wanted it, so we did that, you know. And it was just a great experience. We passed on dessert. So here's the thing about service that people don't understand. And this is so above and beyond that it was almost hard to believe. I ordered, we decided instead of dessert, we were going to have another bottle of wine, right? So I said, we should probably go back to white because I don't want to get hammered here. And so I ordered a bottle of Puy Fusé, which is a white Burgundy. It's a Chardonnay. And so they're looking for it to come back. They came back with a Pellini Monrocher, which is also a white Burgundy and also a Chardonnay. But it's also $200 more than the Fusé, right? So he goes, we don't have the Puy Fusé, but I have this, and, you know, we'll give it to you for the same price. I said, listen, I know what that costs. No, you don't have to do that.
Wait, you asked for Puy Fusé?
Yeah. It was the only really white wine that really appealed to me at that moment on the list. And so he comes over with this bottle of Pellini, you know, and he's going, no, we'll, you know, we're happy to do it. I said, listen, if you're okay with it, fine. I mean, it's great, but, you know, I'm feeling a little guilty here. I don't mind buying the bottle if that's what it, no, okay. So he gave us this bottle of wine, and it was just a great experience. They're doing nice things there. I think you should go. It's a beautiful restaurant. It was designed by Sharon DeLago, who also designed Kingfish and Jewel for me. The place is beautiful, and they're very big on hospitality. It's just I had a wonderful time there, and go if you can. Now, the second place I went to this week is a brand new place called The Local Table in Syosset. And it's right next to the Lidl supermarket, which is across from that diner there, Celebrity Diner on Jericho Turnpike. It's in that shopping center. I'm going to start with the bad news first. The bad news is they need to get some sound deadening things in there, because it's all like marble floors and tile.
And what restaurant was this?
Huh? It's called The Local Table in Syosset. And that's the only negative comment I have. And it's not negative for negative sake, but there was 20 people in the place, and it was this cacophony of sound. I was sitting right next to Val at the bar. We were on the corner. I like to face her rather than sit side by side. And I couldn't hear what she was saying to me.
So wait, where is Syosset? It's Jericho Turnpike.
Jericho Turnpike. You know where Lidl Shopping Center is? You know where Celebrity Diner is?
Yes,
across the street.
Okay.
In the shopping center there. And it's, you know, beautifully decorated. Obviously, they put some money in there. And they have this chef. I think his name is Isaac Oliveria. And I don't know him. I think he's new to Long Island. And he's a very talented guy. I mean, he's doing exquisite work there. I mean, it's a very ingredient-driven menu. You know, and he's trying to stay local and fresh, and he's doing a great job of it, and everything's plated beautifully, and, you know, it's not really priced out of control. It's a very nice place. They have a brief wine list that's well thought out. You know, you can find something to drink there, and my only thought was, you know, he's got all this fussy stuff going on in the place, and I don't know if he's ever worked on Long Island, because he's going to get that, I can't have this, and put that on the side, and I'm allergic to flowers, and, you know, the whole shenanigans that we do here for some reason. But I got to tell you, I think he's going to do real well there. I was there on a Tuesday night. There was about 20, 25 people in the place. I was talking to the bartender. She said they were only open about 4 weeks, and apparently it's doing pretty well. So good for him. And I can't wait to go back. It was a fun night.
So you brought up an interesting topic, the thing about noise level at restaurants. And I remember a whole long time ago, I'm lucky. I make lemonade out of lemons.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got divorced, it turned out that my divorce attorney was Marv Albert's first wife.
Really?
And in the divorce, she got the season tickets
stand
to the Knicks.
Really?
So a couple of times I got to use them. And I went with a business acquaintance one time. And we went to dine somewhere before going to the Knicks game.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't hear her. And that's when I had my hearing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I know. It's crazy.
So, you know, come out to Long Island, and there's certain restaurants that are just difficult to hear. One is Chris and Tony's. I love that restaurant. I could be sitting at a square table adjacent to somebody and not hear them sometimes. It's crazy. And sometimes the acoustics are interesting. I remember Carrie and I were there a couple of years ago, and we're sitting at a table for six or eight, a round table, and then next to us is another table, and I'm literally sitting next to Carrie, and I can't hear her, but I can hear the table next to us.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so, you know, if you're going to catch up with people and you want to converse, you got to think of where you go. But it just seems that happens a lot.
Well, it's the one thing that people don't think about when they're designing the restaurants. And I think even the designers are unaware of it. I don't know if they're unaware or they don't care. But the bottom line is, when you start, you know, years ago, all the restaurants had carpeting, you know, which absorbs an awful lot of sound, right? And, you know, everybody realized that, you know, it gets dirty. It's a pain in the neck. You got to vacuum it again. You gotta change it or whatever. So they started going to floors, you know, like linoleum or wood or whatever. And those hard surfaces are tough, man. You know, I know the acoustics from playing in bands and bars and stuff all those years. that if you get a live room, you know, it's got a lot of hard surfaces. You got to really be careful with your sound levels. And it's the same thing with the restaurants. And I think that, you know, when we built Jewel, you know, Jewel's a monster place. I mean, it was, I don't know, 10,000 square feet or whatever, you know. And it was, we had that problem in the beginning, you know. The designers never really kind of either, you know, did something about it or you know, that's the word I'm searching for and I can't find it. But there was no sound deadening in the place. It was all hard surfaces. So we had to put things under the table. We had to put some things on the ceiling, you know. And it helped a lot.
Interesting.
Because we had a lot of complaints in the beginning. And they were valid. I mean, you know, you go out, you want to be able to talk to somebody at least across the table. You know, the good news is, you know, you're busy and nobody can hear each other. The bad news is you're busy and nobody can hear each other.
Right. You know? No, I'm giggling because I can't begin to tell you how many times you go to a restaurant and the server comes over and offers you the specials of the night. Of course, you get to hear her name.
Yeah.
Or
I don't,
the person's
I hate
name.
That.
I know. But then somebody else at the table has, either because they weren't paying attention or they couldn't hear, they asked the same question. You know, can you repeat that?
Oh, I do that on purpose just to hear it again, just to make, because it's kind of funny. You know, generally, it's Italian restaurants do it more than other restaurants, right? You go into your prototypical Long Island Italian restaurant, and you usually have some, you know, Central or South American guy masquerading as an Italian waiter, you know, Pedro. And thank God for them because, you know, we wouldn't have the business without them. But they, you know, they always start with, tonight we have some nice assorte de baby clams, a touch of garlic, touch of balsamic, very nice, you know. And they go through this litany of about 20 specials, you know. And it gets to the end and you always go, could you repeat that again? You see the guy's eyes go up. Oh, no, you know. Because they got to memorize or sometimes they got to go, you know, look at the pad because there's 25 things. It's hilarious. Funny stuff.
So we're talking about restaurants. Actually, last night I had Indian food. And I always talk about how it's enjoyable. And I look forward to one time getting out with you and Val, with Carrie, because you'll be the concierge or the
yeah,
you know, the take us through the menu,
yeah.
And maybe even, you know, tickle Carrie to try something she wouldn't normally try.
Yeah, I'd be useless in an Indian restaurant, though.
Okay, so we did Akbar over in Garden City, and
at the one at Roosevelt Field.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So apparently the restaurant's been around for 50 years.
Oh yeah, forever.
It was slightly away from where it is now. And over the years, I've had many adventures with this thing called radio. I was working with somebody that had a phone store, a cellular phone.
Uh-huh.
And we became real friendly. And he invited me. He was Indian. He invited me to his wedding, which was the most interesting experience. I mean, it,
there were like 2,500 people there.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And you know, the buffet was like multiple tables, like the size of the Last Supper table.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was just, I wasn't familiar with anything. They didn't tell you what they were. They just, they named what it was, but they didn't tell you the ingredients or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was also a whole bunch of
good reason.
Fruit juices for, and I didn't know if that was part of being able to control the intensity of the spice in the foods.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there was like coconut milk and things like that.
Yeah.
But it was just incredible. And then the traditions of the Indian community, it's not unusual to have the groom to ride in on a horse,
yeah, elephant or
something. An elephant, yeah. Yeah. And they don't bring it into the restaurant, but outside they'll...
Yeah, God forbid, you'd have to make sure the elephant was constipated before you brought him in.
But the bride wears like the family's inventory of jewelry they borrow for they,
yeah.
And the henna tattoos.
Yeah.
So at any rate, so in our circle of friends, we have somebody, a guy named Rakesh, who's involved in real estate. And we were at a barbecue recently, and I always would say, you know, I'd love to get out with you. And they finally made it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it was an authentic evening.
Yeah, sure.
And it's hopefully Carrie's not listening today, but What's interesting, Kerry's usually the group leader in dining. So if we go out with a group of people, we like to do family style,
right.
And she'll take control of things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this night I probably didn't want her to take control of things. But she has a good handle on it, so it wouldn't be terrible. But it was almost like bickering, you know, what I call my Indian friend as the host, let's say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and he's saying what to order, and she's like questioning this. And he's like, don't worry, we have that, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I had my other friend who just has no concept of anything. He, you know, he was looking for the most American thing he could find.
Can I get Caesar
chops.
Salad?
He found lamb chops. And then you'll laugh at me. The lamb chops are served with like a green sauce.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking it's going to be mint, but it wasn't.
No, anything green over there is dangerous.
However, I have been with some people the other night. I was with a worldwide known musician.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in North America, and we were at his house for a barbecue.
Right.
And I guess if you're a real guy, you go hunting. And they're all talking about their, you know, shooting deers and the other. And somehow the subject of mint jelly came up.
Oh, my God, please. They should just.
And I thought that was just for my mom, you know.
Yeah.
But this is this burly, you know, hard rocker talking about, you know, taking apart the deer. And then when it's all cooked and everything, you know, there's mint jelly.
I think mint jelly was originally invented to take the taste of the mutton out of your mouth. You know what I mean? Because the lamb was old and long in the tooth.
Maybe. But anyway, we had this really delightful meal at Akbar. What was interesting, my friend apparently was a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
So
and that's a good place to go because there's a lot of vegetables there, yeah.
But it was very, very nice. Again, I'm just not familiar. I've eaten Indian food, but there was a lot of rice dishes and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there was naan is the bread.
The bread, yeah.
And there was one that was
they cooked that on the side of the tandoori.
There was one that was like sweet, and I thought it was a fruit, but I'm led to believe it was pistachio.
Oh, yeah?
And it also, the pistachio came up again because one of their desserts was a Dubai chocolate naan. It looked like a crispy pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
But that also was with chocolate and pistachio.
The only, you know, there was a man, his name was Floyd Cardoz. He was a very, very talented chef in the city. He opened a place called Tabla, which was an Indian restaurant. He was Indian by birth, and sadly died of COVID a couple years ago. But that was my only real experience, and it was very high-end Indian, you know. I don't, like, Val always wants to go out, and, you know, not always, but she's always, let's go get Indian food. I'm like, I don't know. It's not, you know, I'm a wine guy, so it's not anything I would do. That's a lunch thing for me. But we had they do a Diwali celebration at the club, you know, because there's a fairly robust Indian membership there. And, you know, you get 100 people, and I don't cook it because I don't know anything about it, because they bring in this caterer, right? So caterer, last year he was there, he, you know, all the stuff came back off the buffet, and we had all these trays of food in the kitchen on the pass, right? So I said, well, let me try this, you know, and it left to right. So, but now I don't know if this guy's a great caterer or a lousy caterer or whatever. I don't know anything about it. And I don't know a lot about Indian food. I'm going to, you know, admit that right now. So I tasted it all, and it all kind of tasted the same to me, except for the level of heat. You had, like, mild, getting hot, getting real hot, holy you-know-what hot, and then run out of the building screaming hot.
So I have to debate you on this. So we had a variety of foods.
Mm-hmm.
One was, lack of a better term, called lentil, which was weird to me because it was like almost like a lentil soup.
Stop.
But you eat it on a plate.
Yeah.
Then there was other things that were more in a red sauce. There were some things that were in a green sauce. But here's where I'm a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to bare my soul. I think you're the one that enlightened me as something about Asian and Indian. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both on the...
they're both Asian.
They're all in the Asian continent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm not the smartest guy, but I realized that once again that I'm not smart. No, that India is on the Asian continent. Right. But what I wanted to ask you is, there's a restaurant, there's a deli marketplace in Belmore called right. Tavlin, which is, again, Mediterranean. You can eggplant and hummus and things like that. And at the same time, in last night, I know there was some dishes that had chickpeas and stuff.
Right.
So Mediterranean cuisine and Indian cuisine, to me, started blending
together. Into each other. Yeah, sure. You know, to me, you know, I have a very good friend, Bhuv Singh. He's a cancer doctor, and he's a brilliant guy. I fly him all over the world for these seminars and stuff. And he said to me, he says, you know, to me, it's the greatest cuisine in the world because it's so diverse and so interesting. And you know, I get it because he was brought up and born that way. You know, I mean, you ask any Italian, they'll tell you the same thing, you know. But, I guess at some point I'm going to explore it just because my curiosity will get me. The only thing is, I'm always looking for a glass or a bottle of wine when I go out, and it's, you know, there's nothing you can eat with that other than coconut drink with that, I should say, other than coconut milk or something to douse the fire, because a lot of it is pretty hot. And it's, you know, it's funny, we have like I said, a sizable Indian population at the club, and one of the guys, he's a younger guy, I guess he's in his 40s or something, very well off. And his father comes to the club with him all the time. And his father came. We do this pasta night thing on Sundays once in a while, where I'll put out, you know, a buffet like some like Arthur Avenue, you know, sausage and peppers and meatballs and, you know, and brajol and steak pizzaiolo and stuff. And we do a pasta bar where two of us will be making pastas with six or seven different sauces. So he comes over and he got an order of pasta. I don't remember which one it was. But it was maybe the size of your fist, you know. And he put 5 tablespoons of red chili flakes on there. And I'm looking, I was teasing him. I said, you know, I think you missed a spot there on the right-hand side. So he was laughing, you know. See, now, I don't know if you've ever eaten a tablespoon of chili flakes, but it'll get your attention, right? So he's got 5 of them on there. And he leaves, and he comes back for 2 more. It wasn't hot enough. And I see that with a lot of the Indian fellas that work there. We have this guy, Stash, Yash, who is a, you know, fun guy. He's probably in his maybe early 40s, late 30s, something like that. Pretty good golfer. Comes in all the time. But everything he eats, everything he orders has to have a side of jalapenos. I mean everything. Egg sandwiches to steak, whatever. Always a side of sliced jalapenos. So it's that heat thing that, you know, I think probably makes me hesitant about, you know. Plus, I don't know which Indian restaurants are great and which aren't. I could probably find out because, like I said, there's a bunch of Indian people there. But there's a new place that just opened up. You know, it used to be Concadoro over there on on 106. Trying to think of where I can tell you it is. You know where the McDonald's is on 106 in Jericho?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like right next door or 2 stores down. It's a long, thin building. And it was Concadoro for years. It was an Italian restaurant for years. Now I understand it's a very high-end Indian place. So that I would be willing to try. I think I got to start at the high end and then work my way down to the joints, you know. But, I would prefer to do it for lunch because I don't want to blow a dinner if it's terrible. You know, I mean, dinners to me are precious, you know. Built my entire day around them, so well, again, I don't know, we'll give it a shot.
Again, these different dishes, there was a lot of rice. There was something that I think was called biryani, which was rice with spices, mm-hmm. and I think the one we had was vegetables. And then there was...
Yeah, Val loves it. She swears by it.
And there's different types of rice that the Indian community use. One with a J.
Yeah, yeah, the jasmine.
Jasmine.
And the long kernels.
And then there's one with a B.
Basmati. Yeah.
They're similar, right?
Yeah, kind of. Rice is rice to me, you know what I mean? It's different shapes or whatever. I guess jasmine has a little more of a flavor to it.
And, but, you know, but it's also the composition. One is more delicate mm-hmm. than the other.
Also, you know, they're very health conscious. I mean, there's a ton of vegetables and, you know, chickpeas and stuff like that. That stuff is all very good for you, you know. So I think lamb, I don't see a lot of beef on those menus. And I haven't really explored it, so I'm not saying they don't have them. But I think they concentrate more on vegetables and chicken. Think of masala, that kind of thing. Yeah, it all looks interesting to me. But like I said, I got to start with lunch, and I'll work my way to dinner. But you have that whole huge Indian community over in Hicksville, and so there's a bunch of different places there. And, like I said, Val's always saying, come on, let's go. And I'm like, I always go someplace else, but I'll do it. I'm going to dive in and see what happens.
All good. Yeah, all good.
So should we take a little break here and pay some bills?
Sure.
Should we do that and come back in a minute or two? We will see you then.
Welcome back. You're listening to Play Wind Fire on 1100 WHLI AM and 104.7 WHLI FM, Long Island's own food, wine, and lifestyle show with your host, Tom Shawdell, chef, author, and restaurateur.
Yeah, we were talking about my fear of flying when it comes to Indian food, so I'm going to make a commitment to go try it. And Val usually listens to the show and gives me the review. So now I'm going to have to go because I shot my mouth off here and she's going to hear me, But, it should be fun. I mean, I love exploring things, food-wise. I'm a pretty adventurous guy. The only things that I can't eat, I can't get chicken liver past my Adam's apple for some reason. And I'm not wild about okra. I can eat it, but it's like, just a slimy vegetable,
Interesting.
Yeah. But everything else, I mean, I've eaten rattlesnake, I've eaten goey. I don't know if you know what goey is. It's kind of a national dish of Salvadorians. It's basically gerbil, hamsters, So I can eat a hamster, but I can't get chicken liver past here. It's an odd thing,
Interesting.
And beef liver, too. I can't eat that. Yet, I can eat foie gras by the ton, which is duck liver. So I don't know. You explain it to me. It's just nuts.
Whatever.
Yeah, man.
I'm just interested in, at the moment, I think about you over at the club. And have you had any theme nights or anything? Or well, and I know sometimes you don't like the theme nights.
No, I'm recovering from the 4th of July. It was a big one. We had 1,150 people there, they got, it's funny. It amazes me how adults are so easily entertained, And they come up with these theme things. And I was saying to the House Committee Chairman the other day, this lady Renee Warrell, she's a very nice woman. And, we did this farm-to-table dinner. We had like 50 people show up. Everybody had a great time, they loved the food, they loved the wines, and they all had a ball. And it was just that. It was just farm-to-table dinner. Meanwhile, they get these things where they have Cuban night where they're renting dancers, they got Blue Angel flyovers, they got dancing donkeys and, DJs and the whole thing. It costs them $10,000 to throw a party that they get $6,000 back on, It's crazy, right? I said, why don't we do more of those? I mean, even if you have, a poor turnout, if you had 25 people, it doesn't cost you anything, except for the cost of the food and wine to help, which you're going to have there anyway. So I don't know. I think they're kind of leaning that way now. They said, have one or two big events a year. They got another one coming up around the world, which is a colossal pain in the you-know-what for me, because they have five countries, and I have to do a table of food from each country, like Austria, Italy, Mexico, Spain, whatever. So it's a lot of stuff,
Yeah. So I just had an epiphany. I go to a lot of charity events, and this time of year, the golf outings.
Right.
And I don't golf, but I get there in time for the cocktail hour and the dinner.
Yeah.
And the dinners are usually extravagant. The one that comes to mind that I went to is North Hills Country Club.
Right.
And they had anything from barbecue ribs, hamburgers, pasta dishes, lobster, the traditional shrimp and clams.
Yeah, raw bar. Yeah.
Poached whitefish. I mean, an incredible array of food.
Yes.
And they don't skimp. It just keeps coming. So now I realize you're the master chef over at your club, and that's called
Mill River.
Mill River.
Yeah.
And but for some reason, when you talk about what you do, I think about it as the just the normal dining room of the club that the members use.
Right.
But do you get involved with these golf outings?
Oh, yeah.
And again, how do you? It seems like it's never-ending amount of lobsters that are put out there, and I guess sometimes they're half a lobster. Sometimes I think they're full lobsters, but you know, I've seen people that have been crazy where they'll take four lobsters, rip off the tail, and throw the rest away.
I know, yeah, seen it all the time.
You know, I've said this before. I guess I'm a generous guy. Carrie and I go for a 2-pound lobster or something. I give it the tail. I'm content with the claws and the middle part of the lobster.
Sure.
But it's just amazing to see what people eat at these golf outings. And liquor is free. To see what they drink is crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's funny is I've noticed over the last 10, 15 years that people eat less than they used to. I mean, there's an awareness now, you know, of health or whatever. You know, they used to be, you know, stuffing cherry tomatoes in their ears on a buffet and, you know, and putting shrimp in their pockets and stuff. But this doesn't happen as much anymore. I don't do lobsters for the golf tournaments for two reasons. One is they're a pain in the neck, and two, they're expensive now. So, you know, unless they want to pay a you know, an additional fee, you know, we'll put the lobsters in a roll bar. But for the most part, you know, years ago, people would eat an entire, like, ribeye steak, you know. You had 100 golfers, you needed 110 ribeyes, right? Now, for 100 golfers, maybe, because I slice them, you know, and people just want a little bit now, you know. And you can come back for more if you want, you know. But bottom line is, for 100 people, maybe I'll use, I don't know, 25, 30.
So going back to the raw bar, you know, usually the lobster is a cold lobster.
Right.
Tom Shawdell. How do you eat a cold lobster? Do you dip it in cocktail sauce?
And oh, just, God, no.
And that's where I know that if I go somewhere and the cocktail sauce isn't to my liking, it could be the best lobster, the best whatever, and it's meaningless to me. I'll eat a hamburger.
First of all, if a chef is serving cocktail sauce with a cold lobster, he should be prosecuted in The Hague for crimes against humanity.
Well, they do it no matter what, because they're going to serve that with the shrimp.
Yeah, I get it with the shrimp and the other, you know.
The clams and oysters or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you eat a cold lobster?
Just with lemon and a little butter, warm butter. You know, I think that, you know, I'm not a big cocktail sauce guy. I don't use it on, use it maybe on a clam. I don't use it on oysters at all, ever. You know, I don't use mignonette a lot either. I'm just kind of like a lemon guy. I want to taste the oyster. You know, clams all taste the same, no matter where they come from. It's just a clam, you know. Oysters are different. I mean, they're filters of the sea. They, you know, they feed in different areas. So there's different flavors to them. And I'm looking for the nuance. You know, we'll order like 12 oysters. I'll order four from here, you know, that kind of thing. And I want to experience the differences in the salinity and all the other stuff that's there.
I get a kick out of it should be natural to think this, but it's a new thought to me, the cold lobster with warm butter.
Yeah.
But that's what a lobster roll was, so why would I not have realized that?
I know. Like I said, you know, the cocktail sauce with a lobster, I get it with shrimp because shrimp doesn't have much of a flavor. Lobsters are a little more assertive flavor-wise. And, you know, I want to taste like a lobster. And I like ketchup, you know. So, and the butter, I think, enhances, especially, you know, I don't use salted butter. We use unsalted. Here's a professional chef tip for our listeners out there is unsalted butter is used in restaurants because salt preserves butter longer than it should be around. And that's why we don't use salted butter, because you can always add salt. You can't take it away, right? So we use unsalted butter just to make sure that the butter's fresh. Because butter does go bad, you know? And if there's salt in it, it keeps it alive longer than it should be. So that's why we do that. But unsalted butter and some lemon, and you're good to go.
What about some aioli? Aioli?
You know, okay, but, you know, I don't know. Like I said, lobster to me, you know, I have that whole treatise that I wrote on my menu at Allure that, you know, this is a magnificent creature, and I'm going to treat it with a lot of respect. So I don't want to, you know, defame it. Not defame is the wrong word. It begins with a D anyway. I'm not going to screw it up, right, with a whole bunch of excess stuff, ketchup and horseradish and stuff. And, you know, just take a steam, lemon and butter, and stop trying to, you know, make it harder than it is. You know, sometimes simplicity is, you know, from a cook standpoint, a lot of times simplicity is harder to pull off than the complicated stuff, because you gotta kind of get out of the way, and you gotta kind of let the thing sing on its own, you know, on its own track there, rather than trying to add a bunch of stuff. And, you know, we're as chefs, you know, I'm guilty of it. You know, we're always trying to find that missing note and make it interesting and do this and that. But sometimes things, you just leave them alone. You know, if you go to Tuscany, that's how they cook there. You know, they just take perfect ingredients, treat them with respect, and let the people eat, you know, rather than, you know, messing around with it. You know, it's just sometimes it's just okay on its own, you know. That's the thought I want to leave everybody with this afternoon.
I'm still trying to get over that. I don't see you as a guy that drinks Poulet Fousse.
Listen, Poulet Fousse is just it's a white Burgundy. It's a Chardonnay from Burgundy. There's nothing wrong with it. There's good ones and better ones, but I enjoy it.
One of the first wines that I became familiar with when I was in school 100 years ago up in Syracuse. I was on the concert board, and I was on the catering committee, mm-hmm. and there was a band called Renaissance, and
I remember
their
them.
Food writer was, they had Poulet Fousse.
Yeah.
Like 60 years later, I'm still enjoying it.
To listen to people order it is hilarious, because they're fully pussy funny, you know, they have no idea.
Yeah, I my go-to is the Louis Jadot Poulet Fousse.
Well, Jadot's a good producer. He's like the kind of like the Mondavi of, you know, Burgundy. I mean, he's a big house. You know, they produce a lot of wine, but they, you know, like, you know, Mondavi, they do quality stuff, you know, so it's like Banffy. Banffy makes a lot of wine, but they make very good wine, you know, which is not unusual, but it's not the norm, you know.
So I just have to, before we leave, so again, I was coming back from the East End, and I could have taken North Road or Main Road.
Right.
And I erred and took North Road.
Well, you get there faster that way.
But then I didn't get to pass your properties.
Well, good day. You saved a lot of money. All right. On that note, we're going to end with Tom. Three keys to life is: life is too short to drink bad wine. Treat every meal like it was your last, and keep chocolate in your life as important as sex and pizza. And I promise you, we'll be here next week.
Come on now, everybody, get ready for a treat. It's time for stepping out for something mighty good to eat. You looking for atmosphere? Well, they got it happening here. They're doing barbecue the way it ought to be. Bring your sister, brother, significant other. Bring all your pals. There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
It's summer, and it's time for Smoking Al's Party Catering Menu. Make your next party a smoking one with Al's ribs, barbecue meats, chicken, appetizers, and a whole lot more. Try Al's new fantasy platters in the comfort of your backyard or one of Al's party packages. With the hot weather upon us, your party's going to be smoking. Smoking Al's Massapequa Park. Call 516-799-4900. And remember, there's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.
There's always something smoking at Smoking Al's.